Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Mueller's off. Pony and Mueller presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. So we traded up. We got Doran Dickerson in studio with us. Sup, Doran?
Sup? Traded up?
Yeah.
I like that.
What you think?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty obvious.
First round pick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, what's he? Preferred college free agent?
I'd say Mueller's a third round pick, a nice solid third round pick that you're going to keep around for a couple years.
The compensatory third round pick, like after all the third round picks get made, then?
I'd say legit third round
pick. A legit third rounder.
Yeah, legit third rounder.
You know what? I think he'd take that at this point as a compliment. I don't think the Ravens will make the playoffs this year. I still think they're better than the Steelers. But I think the way the division plays out this year is completely different from last season, where they had too many good teams.
How do you think it's going to play out then?
I think, well, I don't want to say who I think is going to win it.
Why?
Because I don't like talking about that team.
All right.
But I'm hoping that team that I think is going to win, because they've got the bullseye this year and they've got the target on them, because everyone thinks they won the draft and they won free agency and they won a playoff game last year in Pittsburgh, that with the size of expectations, with the girth of expectations on them, that they'll blow it. But that's the only, because on paper I think they've got a really good team.
Well, they do.
And they've got a much, well, they didn't when they didn't have the quarterback thing figured out. And I still don't think they have a good one, but they've at least got a competent one now.
You don't think he's going to get better from last year to this year?
I think he can. I think he could. Yeah. That's what scares me.
I mean, they solidified the other edge rusher, too.
Yeah, they got Clowney.
Right. I mean, that's...
The Steelers lost Dupree to go with Watt, and that team I don't want to name got Clowney to go with Garrett.
Right.
And the Notre Dame linebacker that everyone said was a top 15 pick fell to them in the second round. And they got a number one corner in the draft, too. And Beckham Jr.'s back. That's what I'm talking about.
And the run game is the best in the league.
And they've got maybe the first or second best offensive line in the entire NFL.
Like, I mean, everything is trending up for that team.
If you look at that team's start to the season, though, 3 out of their first 5 games are on the road. They play at Kansas City in week 1. They play the Texans at home in week 2. They play the Bears at home in week 3. And then they go to Minnesota and the Chargers. So I'm hoping that they start 2-3, at which point people that do my job will talk about what's wrong with the Browns, and maybe internally, because they're off to a bumpy start, they'll freak out and panic and point the fingers at each other a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for.
So your first scenario, that's who you think is going to win the division. Who is second?
Baltimore.
You said Baltimore's not going to make the playoffs.
I know. I don't think a second place team in the division is going to make the playoffs.
Who's third?
I think Pittsburgh. But I don't feel... Let me put it this way. I think Pittsburgh's closer to Cincinnati than they are the team I don't want to name.
I agree with that.
It kills me to say that, but
I know. I agree with that, though, especially with Burrow coming back.
Baltimore, what I don't get about this specific move with Owe, drafting him and then, you know, he officially puts pen to paper today. The way they get him, they trade one of the best right tackles in the league because he wants to play left tackle. I would have told them, tough. So be it. Too bad. And because you trade him, not only do you take him off your team, you make Kansas City better, which is your, like, the, one of the teams you have to go through, you would think, to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
So you make one of your rival teams better now, and you don't get an established player back, you get a draft pick, which craps you, can go either way. It's not a top 10 pick, it's like the 31st pick in the draft. And then you use the pick to take a guy who's an edge rusher who had zero sacks last year.
That is very, very interesting.
I get that sacks are not everything, but how do you feel confident taking a guy? Penn State fans, I'm sure, will fill my timeline and tell me, well, you know, it pains me to say this because he's a Raven, but he's actually a good player. How do you feel good about taking a guy that never took out a quarterback one time? They played fewer games, I get it. But still, he was healthy and he had zero sacks.
That's unbelievable. And for what you just said, who they got rid of and who they picked up, and then they draft him.
Yep, then they pick him, and then the replacement at right tackle is Villanueva, who's a left tackle, and he's 32 and never played the position before, and he's a sucky run blocker who had a bad year.
I mean, it is literally probably night and day playing right tackle and left tackle, so I can see
why. Yeah, because your muscle memory's flipped.
Yeah, and you have to protect, too, more.
Well, he played left tackle last year because Stanley got injured, and then he did such a good job at it that he's like, well, I want to be a left tackle now and make left tackle money, and that's right. What created this whole problem for them.
Right. I mean, that's who gets paid.
Yeah, it made the Ravens worse, I think. I think that chain of events that we just talked about made them worse. I don't think they got better this offseason.
I don't think it made them worse. I think they know what they want to do on offense, and what they want to do on offense doesn't have the effect. If you're a tackle, it doesn't really affect what you want to do on offense. You have Lamar Jackson back there who can run for his life.
Yep.
Who is the best runner in the game.
Their offensive line isn't as good as it was before.
It's not as good, but I think the left tackle, right tackle situation for the Ravens in the big picture isn't really a hole that they really are worried about.
Yeah, because you have Lamar Jackson. Because their quarterback can get out of there.
Yeah. So to them, it's like, all right, well, so be it.
Well, how about getting rid of the guy and his replacements in his 30s, and the player you bring in the trade and didn't get a sack last year?
I mean,
how does that solve getting to the, you know, just because your quarterback can run around the teams you're playing, you still want to put pressure on their quarterback?
I think we give a lot of credit to like some of these businesses and some of these franchises by, you know, saying like, oh, well, they're going to do what's right by the team. We got a lot of these teams and coaches are petty. And a lot of players are petty too. This could have been very well a petty move by both Al and the Ravens. Just to say, hey, Steelers, we're going to take your guy. Or not take your guy.
Good. God bless him. They can have him.
But we're going to revamp his career by saying that you could be a right tackle for Lamar Jackson. I mean,
have fun with that.
I mean, I could say that I could see that them being that petty. And that could be the whole situation with Al Villanueva signing there.
I just think, too, for the Ravens, at some point it's going to come to a head for them with Jackson. And does he ever try to impose on them a different style of play because he's thinking about the money? Obviously we know what he's incredible at, but if you're him, if you're Lamar Jackson, do you have it in your head that in order to get Patrick Mahomes money or whatever, you need to prove to the world that you can make throws consistently from the pocket?
I think for him to evolve into changing his play, I don't think it's about the money. I think it's about staying healthy. It's being smart. It's becoming that quarterback that doesn't run every single time and gets down and doesn't take those hits that he takes every single year. And then he knows the money will come. If he stays healthy, the money's going to come. I mean, he's a good player.
But do you think he can make a living just being a running quarterback?
No, that's going to go away after, what, five more years. He's not going to be able to run as great as he does now.
But that's what I mean. I think the Ravens in negotiations would say that with him. We can't give you Patrick Mahomes' contract because what are you going to be in 6 or 7 years?
Well, what if he gets him to a championship game? Even an AFC championship game?
No, I just think he would know that, okay, like I need at some point to convince them to let me throw the ball more so they don't just have me pigeonholed as a guy that's a runner and is going to be, you know, great for 3 years instead of great until, you know, Ben's age. 37, 38. I need to prove to them that I'm a complete quarterback, that I'm not just a runner. So how do you do that? How do you prove that? You've got to throw the ball more, I think. It's just like what we talk about with Juju. Like, he's trying to prove to the Steelers this year that he's more than just a slot possession receiver. He's got that in his head. That's not what's best for the Steelers in 2021, but Juju thinks that's what's best for his bottom line. I could see Lamar Jackson looking at it that way as a quarterback, because everybody says the same thing about him. One of the best football players in the NFL, but is he a great quarterback?
He's a great athlete.
Yeah, bingo. Right. He knows that. He knows that that narrative's out there, and I'm sure it shows up in negotiations too.
Okay, but I mean, does he have control over how he's going to evolve as a quarterback? If he does have that, if he has your scenario in his mind, does he have control to do that? I don't think so. I think that the control is under Harbaugh and the offensive coordinator of how they want him to play. And they will control that until they will get to negotiations. And then maybe your scenario comes up like, oh, well, you know what? We need you to sit back in the pocket more. Yeah. And you didn't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he hasn't really taken any complaints public like Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson or one of those guys yet. So maybe you're right. Maybe he doesn't think that way. And he just continues to be an incredible athlete who makes all kinds of plays with his legs. But it's a blessing and a curse for them. Because when they get ahead in games, they're great. But when they get behind in games, it's bad news.
It really is. And I honestly would think it would be opposite by having a guy that is that athletic back there that can create and run and get first downs and keep drives alive. But it totally backfires to the Ravens whenever they are behind.
I know.
You would think that he would make those big plays that keeps them in games, but it just
doesn't
happen.
I get what you're saying. Like, it's a 2-minute drill and he's just drawing it up and making plays.
And
naturally.
It just doesn't happen.
Do you think the Ravens are a lot better than the Steelers?
I sound like Zeiss there.
They
got Sammy Watkins.
Hey, Steiny, we shouldn't do Zeiss impressions on this show anymore.
Yeah, he got upset, right? Didn't he?
Steiny produces for Zeiss. He might dump you if you do that again.
All right, I'm done. I think that they have it. I think that they have a chance to step in front of the Steelers. I just think that they have a better nucleus of a team.
They had
team.
A better year, even though they lost to the Steelers twice last year, they had a better year.
Right.
They won a playoff game.
They have a better nucleus, in my opinion. I mean, even, you know, we talk about this offensive line situation. I think that they have the players to suffice for what they want to do in offense. And they have good defensive players, and they have, obviously, Harbaugh runs the special teams. They have the best special teams every year.
Yep.
So I do think that they are better than the Steelers right now. We'll see where their offense evolves to. I hope that, you know, what we're talking about, maybe they do keep him in a pocket a little bit more this year and have him throw outside a little bit more and not just throw the Andrews all the time, the tight end.
Yep.
Like, they're going to need to do that because this is the NFL, right, Andrew? I mean, the defensive coordinators pick up on things. You know, they are able to scheme up anything. I don't care how fast, how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to scheme you up, except for Patrick Mahomes. Yet.
Well, he got schemed up because his offensive line couldn't block for him.
Right. He didn't have anybody.
Yeah.
I haven't seen one defense scheme Patrick Mahomes up to make him look like he was like a child in the backyard. Never seen that. I've seen that happen to Lamar Jackson. So you're going to have to evolve as a quarterback, as an offense, and do more than you're used to, than you plan to, because people know what you're going to do. They will box you in.
That's why I think there's a ceiling on them. Like, that's why I don't see some evolution in them and in Baltimore. They're playing a much tougher schedule this year. That's why I throw them in the same. It would be hypocritical for me to say the Steelers schedule is going to kill them, but the Ravens are going to do just fine. I can't have it both ways. Mueller would do something like that, but I can't have it both ways with that.
Okay, so for the Steelers, all right, let's bounce off this real quick before we end the segment. For the Steelers, who scares you on the Steelers offense? Let's stay offense. Who scares you? Like, can break open a game is like, oh, man, well, we have to prepare for that player.
Well, I think I don't feel this way yet, but I think the thought is that Harris is that guy.
So you're
because
rookie?
Because rookie running backs can step right in. Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley. I mean, they usually don't take long. Usually know from the very beginning if they're going to be great players or not. So I think that's what they're banking on. But, like, if you're playing the Steelers, though, to your point, you know that they want to throw it 40 times a game. You're not going into that game and putting 8 in the box right from the start.
Right.
I wouldn't.
Right. If I'm a defensive coordinator this year, I'm going to let Najee Harris beat me.
See, what I would do is
I'm going to let a rookie back
beat
me. Like, if you're going to beat me, all right, then I'll let him beat me.
You know what? What I would do if I'm Buffalo in week one, just like they did in December against the Steelers, I would play the safeties down near the line. I would play the safeties closer to the line of scrimmage, not necessarily because I'm worried about Harris, but because, all right, I know that they just want to throw this underneath stuff. Let's see if Ben wants to throw it over my head or not. And if he does, can he throw it accurately and on target?
There's your game plan.
That's what I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Until
it's proven wrong.
Until me, exactly.
Yeah.
And so who are the guys that get Claypool can run past you? Who else, though?
I mean, Deontay Johnson. Maybe.
That's not Juju's game.
Nope. Not Washington's game.
Nope. Yeah. And then is the offensive line, even if they want to play that way, is the offensive line going to give Ben enough time to make a throw downfield? That's the other part of it.
See, there's a lot of unknown.
Their whole offense are just, it's just an array of question marks.
And
even DeCastro.
Yes.
Even the guy that you would look at and say, at this point, you know, Roethlisberger's got the best resume, but the second best resume is DeCastro's, but even him at this point in his career, he's coming off his worst season.
And you know who we're forgetting who is the biggest question mark? Matt Canada.
Yeah.
New offense. Terminology is probably different. Everything is different.
I don't get that part of it, though. I don't get the new terminology part of it because he was here last year.
He had no say-so. They had the offense in place.
Well, they had some.
It
looked like he had some say-so, and then it went away from the offense.
Yeah, he had his wrinkles. He had his packages that
and
went in there.
The packages went into the paper shredder is what it looked like, didn't it?
Yep. So that's the biggest question mark.
I don't think a lot of teams win big with a first-time offensive coordinator. I think teams get new offensive coordinators that might have experience that change teams, and it's a good fit. But I think it's hard for somebody with no NFL play calling experience to be good at it from day one.
I totally agree. Only way that they will be decent at it, and the only way Kenna would be decent at it, is if he has his personnel to fit his offense. And I do not think that he has the personnel that he probably wants fit what he wants to do in offense.
A Pittsburgh sports team is treating one of its players like a baby, like an infant. And we'll talk about that next with Doran on the Fan.
I'll be honest, I've never seen a kid get this many opportunities. He's got a 7.04 ERA. He's got a 6.50, I believe, career ERA. He's gotten a ton of chances. You can't look up many players. I tried yesterday that are 25, 3 years in the big leagues, have a 6.50 ERA and a 7.05 ERA. You think about that. That means he needs to take ownership. And honestly, if he's the guy that he thinks he is and the organization thinks he is, he's the one that should be like, hey, I want to go figure this out. I want to be as good as you guys have believed me to be for so long. It's time and now. I have to do it now. I think if he did that, the organization would fall in love with him. I think the city would fall in love with him because he's taking ownership of his career and he has to do that. If he's ever going to become the guy the Bucks need him to be, he's got to do it now because the time is kind of running out.
That's Michael McHenry at 4:47, time to get to Archie's and grab their 80-cent wings, saying pretty much that Mitch Keller sucks and needs to almost volunteer to go to the minor leagues to work things out. So the first part of that, Doran's in studio with me here. The first thing about, okay, so you're a professional athlete, an ex-professional athlete, and you see a guy that's only getting opportunities not because he's good, but because of, let's say, where he was drafted or what the organization has invested in him. What goes through your head when you see that?
Like what goes through my head when I see Tim Tebow get signed? Is that the same situation? Right?
Well, I'm saying even when you were like playing and there's a guy that's a first or second round pick that's getting, you share a locker room with a guy that's a bust, but he's only playing because, or the free agent deal that he signed. And everybody else on the team knows that he really should either be a backup or just not on the team at all.
That
happens, right?
All the time. All the time. Like a first-round pick that's there for 5 years just because he's a first-round pick, even though he stinks. Yeah.
Divide a team?
No. You just kind of block it out. You know, you don't even really think of that guy as even – he's a part of the team, but being
But if you're trying
to
win
team,
and a guy like that's taking an opportunity away from someone else, doesn't that piss you off?
Yeah, that definitely does. But then you have to realize the business side of it. They're paying him X amount of money to be there. And that's what they – you know, they're trying to get every ounce out of – that guy that they made that investment in. And if you get the business side, you will get that. But obviously, you need to win, and you want to win as a player. So, you know, That's a tough situation because you're right. I've seen that a bunch of times. It's like, man, I can't believe this guy's like third on the depth chart.
Even when you're at
fifth.
Even if you're at Pitt, you know, guys. In your case, you were a huge recruit, but you backed it up with your production. Like you're a 4-star recruit and you're playing over a guy that's lightly recruited only because of maybe a promise that got made.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, and that's a little bit different because you can make moves because there's no money involved, and there's not a lot of money involved. I mean, there's no money involved, obviously, in college sports, but like. In baseball, you know what I'm saying. In baseball and in professional sports, there's a whole other side to what we watch and what we hear. There's the side that's upstairs. There's the administrative side that signs contracts, that writes contracts, that negotiates, and every cent matters. I mean, to the Pirates, you know, it's a little bit different, but like every cent
in
matters.
But in this case, it's not a dollar and cents investment. It's that because of. The situation with the team, here's a young pitcher that we need to be good. And even though his production is so bad and he's been so awful, we want to continue to give him an opportunity to sink or swim or work himself out of it.
Okay, so where are you going to turn? So say you have a plan B. Like, all right, we're gonna tell him to sit down. We're gonna put him down to the minors. Where are you going? Who are you going with? Who's going to be your guy?
Well, they're not. It's the long game. He needs to go down to the minor leagues because he's got no confidence and no trust in himself right now, and he needs to go get it by playing against inferior players. I'm just giving you what the rationale would be, why it would be constructive to send him down to the minor leagues.
Yeah, I think it would be opposite. I think you got to stick with him against guys that he's going to play against. In the level he's going to play against. That's like me.
But he's literally like the worst starting pitcher in the major leagues right now, Doran. How do you reward that? Like, how do you, in good conscience, say, no, that's cool, even though you're legitimately, like, somebody off the Wild Things could give us the same type of pitching performance. We're cool. Sorry, Wild Things. But that's just the first independent team that popped into my head because they're local. Don't they have a big celebrity softball game coming up?
Yeah, you're
are
in
you
it.
Playing it?
Yeah, I'm in it. So are you.
Well, I am. You only confirmed it with me. There was no grandiose confirmation.
I am.
I see
the guy.
You got a big tweet about Doran's in the game. Where's my tweet?
You'll get it if you have to send in your registration. I sent you the link and you didn't do it.
Oh. So that's
Did I not send you the link?
Yes.
All right. I sent you the link.
Now I completely lost my train of thought here.
Do you believe,
let me ask you this question. When a player lacks confidence, but otherwise has the physical skill set to be a good player, is that something that you can bring out of a guy?
Yes.
You think a coach or the right people around him can bring that out of a person? You don't think it's either born with it or not, you either have it or you don't?
I think at that level... I think you have to bring it out of yourself. There shouldn't be anybody to bring anything out of you if you're at the highest level of professional sports. That's up to you. If you want to bring it out, you can bring it out, and there's nobody else that can pull it out. I mean, like, you know, the coaches, the managers, your teammates aren't going to pull it out. They're going to pat you on the back and say, hey, you know, you're going to have a good game today. Yeah, you're going to do great today. You're gonna have 10 strikeouts today. Like, okay, whatever. Like,
I think they've tried everything with him. I think they've tried the, you know, You gave up a lot of runs, but it was, you know, bad luck and weak contact, and it'll be all right. You'll get him next time. They've given him praise for just so starts. Now they've gotten to a point where it's like, screw it, and they're giving him the tough love approach where they're yanking him out of games early. And
have we seen his mannerisms? Have we heard
terrible,
him?
Awful
have
body language.
Have you heard his interviews?
Well, he's ducked a couple after bad games. He talked yesterday, and he tried to do the "I'm the most pissed off guy in the room" routine, but it sounded fake to me. It sounded like, you know, you should say those things after a game like that, so I'm gonna go do that. Bad acting job, yeah. Sort of deal. You know what that's like. You've been in locker rooms with guys that have done that before, for sure.
Yeah, it's scripted. You script something up in your head. It's like, all right, well, I know what to do that sounds good. I know what to say that sounds good. I just don't know about the approach of, and I know that this has been engraved a long time in this sport, in baseball, but I just don't agree with the approach of. It's like me playing Jason basketball, my son that's 6 years old, and dunking on him and feeling good about myself. And they're like, all right, I'm going to go play against guys that are my age at a pickup game. Like, that's my thought process, like how this could go
okay.
If he goes to the minors.
Yeah, but here's the other part of that. So his numbers at AAA were not that good. I know he's older, but it's not like, so people bring up, well, they don't, oh my God, if they give up on this guy, it's like Glasnow all over again. Glasnow's ERA at AAA was under 2. Like, he owned AAA hitters. Like, if you send him back down there, it's like, I've already basically killed these guys. To your analogy, I'm dunking on my 4-5-year-old going back and playing these guys. The Keller analogy would be, he played his kid one-on-one, but the kid scored some points. It was like an 11-5 game. I mean, you beat him, but you really didn't, like, you know, impose your will on him. So, yeah, you'd be taking a step backwards, but he didn't master AAA.
That's alarming. That's alarming if you're a franchise.
Well, Doran, the only reason why, in my opinion, the guy got put up on a pedestal is because the prospect nerd said he was that type of pitcher.
And that happens a lot.
It does.
A lot.
Well, it happens with recruiting in high school to college, doesn't it?
A lot. I mean, I've seen 4-star, 5-stars transfer. Never sniffed the field.
Couldn't play.
Yeah.
And where do they get the 4 or 5 stars from?
From
just
the nerds. People just...
Do you even know how that actually works? Like, who... Do we know the person who said Doran Dickerson is a 5-star high school football player?
Yeah, I know the person.
Was it a local guy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a local national guy. It was like he was a part of scout.com, but he was from, based, his territory was Pittsburgh. He was from Pittsburgh.
So how many times did he have to see you before he said Doran Dickerson is a 5-star college recruit?
He was literally around me every single place that I went. Like, all my
dating
games,
back to when?
Probably beginning of junior year high school.
Okay.
Not that long, but like, I mean, he was at every game. He was at every Metro Index camp. I mean, he was at every Nike camp. He was at the All-American camp. He was at the All-American game.
So these guys are watching camps and practices and labeling guys off of that. Damn, that's hard. What an inexact science that is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's based off of dominance, too. Kind of how this wraps around to what we're talking about. It's like, all right, I go out there against Laurel Highlands, and I score 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to score 6 touchdowns against Laurel Highlands. But if I go out there against TJ and I don't, and I score 1, you know, it's like, all right, then I can kind of see where this guy's at. Now, yeah. I didn't score any against TJ. I was already the 4 or 5 star at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously, but this is kind of where we're at with Keller and Glasnow. It's like, you're supposed to, if you're really that good of a player, mm-hmm. you're supposed to dominate.
Yeah.
If you're regarded as a 5-star, if you're regarded as a high recruit, if you're regarded as a top prospect in baseball, you're supposed to dominate whenever you get sent back.
I almost think it's like a punishment to send him down to AAA. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Because he's made almost 30 starts in the major leagues. It's not working. Mitch Keller is not giving the Pirates many options. Many appealing alternatives. That's what I would tell him. You don't like getting sent down to AAA. You feel like you're a big league pitcher. Well, you're not showing it when you pitch for us. Go prove it somewhere. Is it embarrassing? Yeah, it is.
It's going to be up to him to bring it out. It's going to be up to him.
I mean, we've seen, you know, I talk about full circle analogies. It's kind of like Dwayne Haskins. Now, his thing was more off the field, but almost like, hey, man, I don't care where you were drafted. Some guys got to get humbled. Something needs, you know, the late ball, you need to force it on sometimes. He got cut. I don't think the Pirates aren't going to DFA this guy and cut ties with him, but
and sometimes
just saying what you're doing is fine. You'll work it out. We're going to give you the whole season to suck, I don't think is the right approach.
Mm-mm. But I do go back to my point that you as a manager or as a player, as a teammate, cannot bring it out of that player. Like, that player has to want to. Now, you could make, like, assumptions. You could make situations like, you know what? See you later. Here. Let's see how you deal with this going back to the minors. You're either going to sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that, but you're not going to rah-rah. All right, you know what? You're going to get him next game. Like, that stuff, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. If he gets sent back, it's like a punishment, and he should take it as a punishment.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy Route 19 South Hills in the 70s. Doran's in with me until 6 o'clock. Coming up next, is Juju Smith-Schuster in trouble? It's the PM team on the Fan.
Keep up with breaking news.
I get blindsided. I just go, where in the hell did that come from?
conversations with local leaders.
There are consequences to that. Folks don't realize what's going to happen to them.
Listen to 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.